Well, the head of the newly formed Energy Security Board says she's surprised that reducing our energy use has not been a bigger focus of Australia's power debate. Dr. Kerry Schott joined me in the studio earlier. Dr. Schott, welcome to The World Today.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your appointment as chair of the Energy Security Board.
Thank you.
Now, you were appointed to chair this new body last month.
Yes.
Australia already has several regulators and advisory boards. What's your board's role?
Well, my board includes the regulator, the operator, and the AEMC, which is the rulemaker, and two independents. So we really include the three main bodies plus a couple of extras.
So do you think then that you will be able to bring some order and rationality to what has become a national political spectacle over power supply and power prices?
I think so. There's an immediate focus from the five of us on the summer, and the report that the operator, Audrey Zimmelman's team, put out recently drawing attention to the issues in South Australia and Victoria this coming summer, which are issues that the operator thinks they have in hand. And in New South Wales and Victoria come 2022 when Liddell's due to retire.
What do you make of the government's attempt to strong-arm the AGL CEO over the future of the company's Liddell power plant?
Well, I like to see it in context. The coal-fired power generators that we've got, they are just all past their use-by date. And over the period from 2022 up until about 2040, they're all retiring. The interesting issue is how we replace those in a way that's both affordable and keeps the lights on.
Given what you're saying, should the government be trying to keep them open?
I think it's probably up to AGL to decide what's a commercial view for them, but the reality is that the megawatts that Liddell and indeed the other coal-fired plants produce does need to be replaced, and it needs to be replaced over time.
So AGL is giving 5 years' warning that it will close down that power station. Yep. Is that enough time to put in place an alternative?
Yes, it is. It is. And what's needed, though, is a very clear direction about where the industry is going, which gets to the Finkel recommendation for a clean energy target.
Are we seeing any clear direction from this government?
We're seeing a lot of debate going on and clearly consideration going on. So we'll see what happens.
What's your response to the suggestions today that the government will redesign the clean energy target that's proposed by the chief scientist so that it can accommodate investment in coal?
I'll just wait and see what comes out of Canberra. I think there's a lot of discussion going on.
Now, your board was set up by the Council on Australian Governments. You know how politics works. What if including coal is the only way that the Prime Minister can get a clean energy target of any kind through his party room?
Well, I think it's up to COAG to decide that. What I would say about COAG is that the chief scientist made 50 recommendations and COAG very unusually have agreed on 49 of them. And your listeners would know that COAG doesn't agree all that often, and to have that level of agreement is a real milestone. And COAG is waiting for the Commonwealth to put in place a national target. We need it for certainty in the market. Like all of us, they'll wait and see what it is. I don't think sort of double guessing where the government might go with this is very productive at the moment.
How much confidence do you have in this current federal government that it will actually deliver on things like the clean energy target and the Paris commitments?
I have no doubt they'll deliver on the Paris commitments. On the clean energy target, there's a very clear understanding that a clean energy target is needed to get certainty into the market. And without that certainty, investment in new plant is much more difficult. You're asking people to take too much risk.
Should demand management be a greater part of this debate?
It absolutely should. I have a background in the water industry, and I was shocked to find how little has been done on demand participation in electricity. In water, those people will remember having dual flush toilets put into their homes and aerated taps, and recycled water plants have been put in everywhere. That saved water demand between 10 and 15%. It's quite possible to save that much electricity.
I guess one of the issues is why would energy retailers encourage consumers to reduce their power use when that would cut income for the company?
Well, the retailers probably wouldn't, but the networks who deliver the power would, because it saves them on investment. So if people can use less power, and I don't just mean people, I mean business too, and we can all get more efficient. And overseas, those demand responses have saved around 20%. And if we can save that much, we can all stop worrying about building new plants of any description.
You're talking as though you don't see it as a crisis.
I don't see it as a crisis. I think it's very good to be having this discussion because it highlights the importance of transiting to a lower emissions future, but in an affordable and orderly way, which is what the Chief Scientist's report was all about, actually.
And perhaps in a political sense, a less panicked way in the future.
Oh, well, you never want to not use a good crisis.
Is that what you think is going on at the moment?
I don't know. Winston Churchill always thought you shouldn't let a good crisis go to waste.
Dr. Schott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Kerry Schott, the inaugural chair of the Energy Security Board.